Blog Talk Radio.
We in the streets, player, get your mail. It's only two places you end up, either dead or in jail. Still nowhere to go, nowhere to go. Still nowhere to go, nowhere to go. Now throw your hands up, hustlers, busters, boosters, ho. Everybody fuck that, still nowhere to go, nowhere to go. Still nowhere to go, nowhere to go.
Two words, United States, no love, no breaks, no brow, high stakes. Crack smoke, black folks, Big Mac, fat folks, ecstasy capsules, presidential scandals, everybody move. Two words, most deaf, K-West, hot shit, calm down, get back, ghetto people got this, game porn, lock shit, gun porn, cock shit, we won't stop shit, everybody move. Two words, BKNY, Bed-Stuy, too hard, too hungry, too many, that's why, these streets, no game, can't ball, don't play, heavy traffic, one lane, everybody move. Two words, most deaf, blackjack, hot shit, calm down, get back, ghetto people got this, game porn, lock, gun porn, cock, we won't stop, everybody move.
Now throw your hands up, hustlers, busters, boosters, ho, everybody fuck that, they know where to go.
Worldwide, cuz I rep that till I fucking die. One neck, two chains, one way, two gets, one wall, 20 plaques. Dude, say, give me that. I am limelight, blueprint, five mics. Go get his rhyme like, should have been signed twice. Most imitated, Grammy nominated, hotel accommodated, cheerleader prom dated, barbershop player hated, mom and pop bootlegged it. So, like it rained to the roof caved in. Two words, shot down, raised me crazy. Do I live by two words? Fuck you, pay me, queen, Jesus, save me. You know how the game be, I can't let them change me. Cause on judgment day, you gon' blame me. Look, God, it's the same thing. I basically know now, we get racially profiled. Fucked up and hosed down, pimped up and hosed down. Plus I got a whole city to hose down. From the bottom to the top, the only place to go now.
You better sleep with your burner. They eat, blow a reef through your car, my God. Two words, no guns, break arms, break necks, break back, Steven Seagal free. Young boss, freshman of the rock, with the beef in the pot, Jason for his dogs to brawl. You get the fly, better fend for yourself. How you screaming out four words, send for the law. Two words, freeway, slightly retarded. Fuck around, throw a clip in your heart, and see what it
was.
America, sweet baby Jesus.
I give you a summer. Then she met no ID and gave me his number. 10 years later, she driving a Hummer. Niggas hustle every day for a beat from Ye. What I do? Turn around, get them beats to Jay. And I'm rapping on a beat they was supposed to buy. I guess I'm getting high on my own supply. Downtown mixing fabrics, trying to find the magic. Started a little blog just to get some traffic. Old folks will tell you not to play in traffic. A million hits and the web crashes. Damn, South Park had them all laughing. Now all my niggas designing and we all swagging. Ignore the critics just to say we did it. This ain't no fashion show, motherfucker, we live it.
King Martin, sweet Queen Coretta, sweet Brother Malcolm, sweet Queen Betty, sweet Mother Mary, sweet Father Joseph, sweet Jesus, we made it in America.
Pledge allegiance to my grandma for that banana pudding, our piece of Americana. Our apple power supply through Arm and Hammer, straight out the kitchen. Don't wake Nana. Build the republic to still stand. I'm trying to lead a nation and lead of my little man. On my daughter, so I'm boiling this water. The scales was lopsided, I'm just restoring order. Hold up, here comes grandma. What's up, yaya? What's that smell? Oh, I'm just boiling some agua. No papa, bad Santa. The streets raised me, part in my bad manners. I got my liberty, chopping grams up. Street justice, I pray God understand us. I pledge allegiance to all the scramblers. This is the Star Spangled Banner.
Sweet King Martin, sweet Queen Coretta, sweet Brother Malcolm, sweet Queen Betty, sweet Mother Mary, Father Joseph, sweet Jesus, we made it in America. Sweet baby Jesus, ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh sweet baby Jesus, we made it in America. Sweet baby Jesus, ooh, oh sweet baby Jesus, we made it in America. Baby Jesus.
What's happening? Hello? Can somebody hear me? If anyone can hear me, type something in the group, like in that little discussion, so I can know if people can hear me.
Okay, testing, testing, testing. Okay, guys, guess what I did? I just gave a very inspirational speech, and you guys didn't hear none of that shit because I had my phone on mute. Rookie mistake. God damn it. Can you guys hear me now? Vita, if you can hear me, call back in. Hey, Vita.
Okay, now I hear you.
Man, I had it on mute. Oh, my God.
Oh,
I've been
my
talking.
God.
I've been talking for like the last 10 minutes.
20 minutes?
Yeah, right. I know, right. So, welcome. I'm so excited to have you on the show again, man. Like, I'm super excited about this.
Really?
It's like, always, it's always an honor to have you on, man. Like, I'd be super geeked about this, for real. Like, also, yeah, miniature groupie shit. You know, I'd just be geeked. So, because I can learn a lot from you. You know what I'm saying? You're awesome at what you do.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I appreciate that, man. That makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
I don't know how, but I got you. I'm with it.
Yeah. You remember back in the day when I first in the middle of Facebook, when I listened to your show all the time when you was on the radio?
Yeah. Yeah. So
you remember,
you
I was just like... Yeah, and remember, I was like super stoked because you were just like an open atheist on the radio, and I was like, "Yo, this shit is awesome!" And it never fly in the south.
Oh yeah, we had what was the name of BFT, Black Freethinkers Radio? That's right.
Yeah, yeah, and that was like, man, my son is 8 now, so that was about 7 years ago. Jeez.
Yeah, when was that long ago? No way. It could have been 7, maybe like 5.
It's about 7. Probably 5 with my son. He's 8 now, so he might be about 2 or 3. I don't know because I stayed on Simpson Road, which is pretty much the hood here, and that was my son was pretty much like 1 or 2. So yeah, it's been a while. Probably like 5 or 6 years. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, I think 5 or 6. I think yeah, 5 or 6 years ago. But wow. Okay. So did you already introduce the topic, or no one heard it?
Nobody heard it. Nobody heard the topic because the phone was on mute. So yeah, basically we're pretty good. I mean, there was a music plan. So they heard the music play for a while, I guess. I mean, I had a dope opening too, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had something that had a Jay-Z going, some of that Kanye West going, had the Kanye 2 words going, then I had the Jay-Z going. Yeah, those are my two intro songs. So anytime I do the shows, I open up my shows with that. You know, like sometimes I might take a break in between. Like on Fridays, I take breaks and play music. I'm looking for underground artists and more independent artists. You know, I just run stuff that. You know, from my personal library that I like, but I'm looking for, you know, actual artists to drop me some music so I can play their stuff, as long as they're fucking decent, you know. So
yeah, I got you.
So yeah,
man. I love curating music. So if you need help getting some music, some ideas, I got you.
Word. Okay, I'm definitely be in your inbox.
Sounds like a plan.
My best friend's supposed to call in. Yeah, right now it's due. Somebody that's supposed to join us, my best friend, is supposed to call in. Me and him started a podcast a couple of years ago, and on that podcast, it was okay. We ran it for a couple of episodes. Then something happened. We don't know what happened. I think life and businesses and shit and working happened, but we did it. And he's supposed to call in. Like, hopefully he didn't fall asleep yet, because he's like Rip Van Winkle. This dude falls asleep and stays asleep.
Yeah, some people are like that. But, I mean, you had me. Actually, I didn't drive back home because I didn't want to sit in traffic and try to be on the phone for your show. So I'm actually sitting in a parking lot in Calabasas ready for traffic to die down a little bit, and then I'm going to use that time to be on your show.
Oh, wow, cool. This is so awesome. Calabasas. Is that like That sounds like so foreign. I heard of it before, but if I hear that name, I'd be like, damn, it sounds like it should be somewhere in the Mediterranean.
Well, you definitely heard Drake and Kanye talk about it.
Yes.
It's a city in L.A.,
okay.
But it's like where a lot of rich people live and stuff. Like the Kardashians live here, Kanye, Kendrick, Top. I don't know if Kendrick lives here, actually. Yeah, no, Kendrick does live here. Kendrick lives here. Top Dog from PDE lives here. It's a popular place.
Cool. Gotta be a lot better. I know it's a lot better than, you know, the freaking South right now. Even though it's like things are looking up, man. You know, so I know you've been paying attention to the news. you seen Charlottesville.
Yes. And I feel for you guys that actually live in the South so close to people who are going to be so blatant, you know? I have the history of living in California where people aren't blatant. They're terrible. Don't get me wrong. But they're not as blatant. Like, I don't think I could deal with that too much. But, yeah.
But you know what? It's crazy, though, because when I first made this, I thought about the topic for tonight, America Divided by Hate.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, directly from my first hearing about Charlottesville. And, you know, when I first heard about it, I'm like, God damn it. I'm like, is it that bad? Like, you know, they're, what the fuck? So, you know, I got online, went on CNN, started going to different sites and seeing what the hell was going on. Started seeing still images and started seeing, you know, videos. And I realized something while I was watching that. You know, growing up in the South and, you know, just, you know, seeing so much nonsense we've been seeing the last few years, I think that outside of us, white people are getting angry. Something is going on. Like in the South right now, like this shit that just happened, this is like, to me, this is the fall of the old South. Like the old South has been lingering around for years. Today on the news here, they tore down like three or four Confederate hero statues all through the South. Not just in Charlottesville. It happened all through the South. And when they were showing these people ripping down these statues and celebrating like they just destroyed Lenin's statue or something, or like they tearing down the Berlin Wall, when I watched these people celebrating, like, guess who it was? It was white people. It was white people. Destroying this Confederate shit.
Well, I mean, you gotta think about this too, though. I mean, the white people that we're seeing that are angry and protesting in Charlottesville and, you know, that want to keep those monuments up, they're angry. And also, this includes the people who consider themselves to be the new Nazis and all that shit, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So you're talking about white people who are mad at other white people. See, the South didn't lose the war against black people. They lost the war against white people.
Right.
The Nazis didn't lose the war against black people. They lost the war against white people. So, of course, you're going to see the white people celebrating the tearing down of these other white people's monuments, because at the end of the day, that's who they've been warring with in the first place. So I'm not surprised at that. And they don't get extra cookies for it either. I do think it is good to see that there are people who really feel that upset about it and want to support it. So I'm not going to say I don't see that. I do. But to me, that's like the bare minimum. Those statues really shouldn't have been up in the first place. And that's not
The
problem has been Robert E. Lee, when in the North, statues of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, we have schools named after these people. So what makes the North, or what makes these liberal white people, so much better than the ones that they're demonizing in the news, when they still keep and uphold the same bullshit that has enslaved us as black people?
Right. I guess, though, it's the South, so I guess, you know, It's I don't know, man. It's like when I first left the South in 2000, and I went to like the Midwest, Detroit for a minute, then I was in Illinois for like 6 months. It was something totally different than what I was used to here. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's still, like, you have to understand, like, here, like, socially and, like, for some odd reason, like, the South is, like, it's behind. The way the South thinks is still behind. Like, you got to understand, like, here in Georgia, it was just now legal to have alcohol sales, like, a couple of years ago on Sundays.
Right.
So, I mean, and we've been protesting this for years.
Kind of
like,
but you have to think that's kind of a Southern legacy, right? That's what a conservative is, right? A conservative wants to conserve what they've built and maintained, right? They're gonna be very old and behind. That's just kind of the culture of the South. I'm not surprised at that at all. However, I'm not going to dismiss either the South as far as, I mean, I'll put it like this. I, looking at it from a white Southerner's perspective, I get why they would be upset. The problem that they have is they're upset at the wrong people.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. If you're a poor Southern white guy, of course you're mad. Of course you are. They make fun of you all the time for being slow and being behind and all this stuff, right? Constantly. It's a constant thing. A Southern accent is synonymous with the drawl, synonymous with being slow and loud. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or being unintelligent. That's the constant stuff that they live with.
Yeah.
And they're constantly feeling like, well, who is the North to try to tell us what we need to change? You got to remember, the North wasn't fighting to end slavery just because they love Negroes. They were fighting slavery for multiple reasons. The world was changing. Many other countries had already emancipated their slaves. The South didn't want to be a part of that. That was modernization that was happening. But I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. I was about to say people don't like to hear that, actually. Like people, like when you say that, some people don't like to hear that. I'm like, yeah, but it's the truth, though. It wasn't just what you just said about slavery, about, you know, exactly why it ended. Like, a lot of people don't like to hear that. Like, and it's funny. It's funny to me. I mean, because I would say that to a few people and, you know, like here anyway, and I'm automatically labeled a coon or a sellout, you know, shit like
that. Which is funny to me because, I mean, you definitely said some things I didn't agree with, but I feel like you're very open to conversation. Well, we've had many conversations that I thought went really well. So I don't think you're a coon at all. I just think you're more open-minded to look beyond the binaries of conservative, liberal, you know what I mean? I think that's important. You have to have people who think beyond those lines. So people think so well within those lines, they're out here saying stupid shit all day. And they love the Democrats to the point where these Democrats are sitting up here making sure that they get locked up and have no resources. But they pat you on the head and flaunt you in front of the TV and pretend like they care. So I think you go beyond. I'm not even joking. I'm like dead ass serious.
No.
Remember when Hillary trotted out the mothers of the victims, of people who had gotten killed in police brutality?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, I see that. I see it. I hate it. I fucking hate it. I hate it. I hate the pedophile shit. Don't do it.
Plan to address it. But the Democratic Party at the Democratic National Convention created those mothers up there, and not once did anybody have a real plan to address the problem. Because all the way to address them was fine, but nobody's talking about that. They're talking about community police relations and shit, or getting rid of guns. What the fuck's that got to do with anything? Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Especially getting rid of guns. You can't do that shit.
Right. So you got to think beyond conservative, liberal dichotomies and act like this is some real reality shit. Them niggas don't give a fuck about you. Hillary don't give a fuck about you either.
You're so right. So damn right. It's like, you know, it's funny. This morning, I was walking to the train station, and so it's like I see this one house. I see this one house all the time out here, and they have like two signs up on their front porch. One sign is a Black Lives Matter sign. And other signs, it says something in three different languages. One is English, one is Arabic, and something. The other one, I can't really make out. And so I see this household today. I see the lady come to the house. She had her son. And I'm walking down the street, and I have a cage with me, a pet cage with me, because I have a newborn kitten, which I'm trying to save. And I'm going to work or whatever. So I see this lady come out of the house. I said, oh, wow, a white lady stayed there. I said, a white couple stayed there. Okay. Okay, it's cool. So I see two cars, and she have her son. So I just kind of wave at her. And she tucks her purse and walks briskly to our car. I wanted to scream so badly, bitch, take that fucking sign down.
Wow.
I wanted to scream so bad. You know what I'm saying? But she had her sign with her. If she was by herself, I would have did it. I would have did it
now,
quickly. You know what I'm saying?
That isn't the quintessential, like, white bullshit, man. That is the realest shit. I'm going to tell you, I think I might have said this the last time I was on the show. Because made me think, what you just told me made me think of a situation I had. I talked about it on my Facebook, where I had to cuss this white lady out at the airport. And one of the things she kept saying to me is that she wasn't a racist. Now, mind you, 5 minutes before that, she was just telling me I needed to be arrested because I yelled at her. She was talking about calling the police on me. But then she was trying to emphasize to me that she wasn't a racist. And that's not even including the fact that she just disrespected her Uber driver that left her ass there because he didn't speak English very well. She was disrespectful to him. I think he's a Latino guy. So I just thought that was interesting. That this same, you know, mentality is, oh, look, I'm not a racist, I'm liberal, I'm this, and I love all people, I want equality, Black Lives Matter, they say all that shit. But when it comes to action, that white bitch wouldn't give a fuck about locking my black ass up for yelling at her. I yelled at a white woman. You know what I mean?
Yep, exactly.
And that same white lady didn't think twice about tucking her shit when she saw you.
I mean, she took this shit fast. I was across the street. That was the crazy part about that. Like,
what the fuck is taking your purse going to do? Because if the fire don't take your shit, they're going to take your shit.
She had her son. I swear, she didn't have her son with her. He was like a little kid, like two or three. So I was like, you know what?
Oh, the baby.
The
kid
stage
are like,
yeah, that's the only reason. Because, I mean, trust me, because I have no cool when I'm pissed off. So most of the time, I keep my headphones on me. So I don't have to, you know, interact with people.
Because, you know. Yeah. You're a black man, and, you know, I know how that shit go. Because I spazz on women in front of their kids. I spazz on pregnant bitches in front of their kids. But that was also, I have. I mean, it is what it is. But I wasn't violent or nothing, but I had to tell her about herself. But she started acting like a white woman, too. She wanted to act like I was getting violent with her. And then, even though I wasn't even near her, by the way. But she went telling all the other white people at the park that I threatened her. And I never threatened her.
Oh, my goodness. They do that shit. Some of them just over there scary.
And all these white people went around calling her, trying to figure out what was wrong with her. And mind you, I only went off on her because she went off on me first over some shit that wasn't even that important. So it wasn't like an Asian lady had to ask me if I was okay. She was the only person.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, hey, do you go to any marches, any rallies? Have you been to any?
Not anymore. I used to do that shit all the time when I was younger. I used to organize protests and rallies when I was younger. That was my life. And then I got older, I realized that shit wasn't doing nothing, and I stopped. So this is the thing. It's not the march that matters as much. The march is just a demonstration.
Yeah.
Just to say publicly and to get it on record that there's a large number of people who are not down with this bullshit, right? Or even if it's not bullshit, whatever it is, right? There's a large number of people who are going on the record saying that they're not with something. That's all that is. Now, the issue I was having is the real work comes before and after that protest march. People will show up to march, but when those same organizations that organize that march need people to come through and, you know, volunteer, do some shit, or, you know, show up at the council meeting or whatever it is, those same people don't show up, they go right back to their house, watch the news, and complain about the problem.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of over that. I'm about getting money right now. So.
I feel you. Yeah, I feel you. If you ask me, like nowadays, I think it's more just like a trendy thing to do. It's like, you know, people
exactly.
Running around screaming, they're, I can't stand this shit. People running around screaming, they're woke. Like, I don't know if you ever seen the quote I put on Facebook. I'd be like, you niggas not woke, you niggas just trendy. Like, that's
I,
like, I put it on Facebook
that,
every
now
and then.
If I had seen that, or when I see it, I'm going to definitely put a big fat-ass red heart because that's some real-ass shit. That's real. Because I'm telling you, I used to, look, there's so much work that goes into being an activist. People think it's just the part where you hold up a fucking sign. That ain't true.
Right.
You know how much we got to meet with lawyers and talk about policies and try to figure out which policies we need. Talk to the community members. Find out what it is that they want, and they're looking for. Look at statistics. Do research. We have to, you know, go to Chicago and see how they dealt with the exact same problem that we had. Whatever it is. You got to, it's a lot more work, and it costs a lot of money. Like, that shit ain't no game. The problem is a lot of these organizations, they're funded by a lot of these philanthropist foundations and shit. A lot of those foundations are getting money from the major companies that they're protesting against in the first place.
Yep.
It's called the nonprofit industrial complex. If you don't, if anybody's listening and they think I'm just talking out my ass, you can Google this shit. I'm not just talking out my ass. Something called the nonprofit industrial complex. You can look it up. It's real.
I've heard of
it. Years.
Yeah. I've heard that. Like, people have told me that before too. People have told me that, and so that's why I kind of shied away from it. I thought it was some crazy shit when I first heard it, but it became a recurring thing. When I started seeing people like just stop doing it, and I'm like, yo, why did you stop? And they just say shit's a damn hamster wheel. Like, you bullshit. But,
because you're being funded by the same thing that's causing the problem that you're protesting. I'll give you an example. This is a real clear cut example everybody can see. When you go to the grocery store and you go buy a can of Campbell's soup, it says, supports the American Heart Association. You look on the back of that shit, look at how high that sodium is. And what's the number one cause of high blood pressure and stroke?
Sodium, yep.
So that's an example of what, that's a little bit different. That's more has to do with charity, and I have a huge problem with charities, and that's a whole other conversation. But that's the nonprofit industrial complex sort of in the way, right? It's like, we're funding the thing that's causing the problem, and we're profiting from the problem. I mean, we're profiting from telling you that we're solving a problem that we're not really solving. It just looks.
And it's a tax write-off. Oh my God! And it's a tax write-off.
Yeah.
What are they losing there?
I'm really not. I'm not against tax write-offs. I think those things should be tax write-offs. If you're a company and, you know, part of your profits are going into, you know, helping something, you shouldn't. That's something that you should be able to get back out of your tax. You're actually putting that money in back into the community. Now, the problem I have is with the charities themselves, you know.
Yeah. I thought about doing that shit. I ain't gonna lie. I know where you're going with it. I thought about doing it. I see just getting a charity and just, you know, for profit, but it's not for profit. Like, I was seeing people get rich off of charities. Like, what the fuck, dude? I was seeing it.
Yeah, that shit don't make no sense. That shit's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the way nonprofits work, you can't. It's really easy to do that because of the way of how nonprofits are set up. But if you're doing it right, most of the time you have to, you know, whoever the executive director is of that organization isn't getting paid too much more relative to the other staff and to what's going out. So if you're a board, the way it's a nonprofit is that there's a board. The board doesn't get paid. Their job is to raise money, to basically come up with the plans and the strategies for the organization. They don't get any money. The people that are getting paid off of this are the people that are getting hired, the executive director, shit like that. Look up the what's it called? Go ahead.
Don't they normally hire themselves? Like, as executive director, why don't do that shit?
You can do that, but you can't be on the board if you're an executive director.
Okay, I know it's some kind of way that I know they do with how they flip it, and they should be totally legal. And I'm just like, that is crazy.
Well, yeah, into the grant. You just write yourself. Let's say I start a nonprofit organization. I say I want a program helping teach the kids jump rope. Okay, that's my nonprofit. Teach the kids jump rope in the hood. So I say, I need a grant to do this. I need money to do this. Okay, I put together a grant. I come up with staff, write up positions, and then I put in the grant. Grant pays for those positions. I hire myself, but I can't be on the board. I have to get a board together. So I've had people that are coming together to help raise the money for the organization, or, you know, do the strategic plan or whatever.
That's crazy. That's crazy though.
But
I mean, corruption is just shit.
This is the thing, and this is why I wanted to be on this particular episode. I wanted to be on the one about interracial marriage and shit too, because I have a lot to say about that. But with this But with this in particular, I just feel like there's not a lot of honesty happening in the conversation, and we're getting caught in these binaries again. You know, we're talking about liberals versus conservatives. Trump as a president versus what Hillary would have been as a president. You know, we're getting stuck in these sort of binaries again. You know, there's the good white people and the bad white people. And then there's the white people who are against the black people. And I mean, it's just not that simple. It's a very complex thing. And there's a lot of dishonesty when we're talking about the history of this country. None of this shit is really new. It's like what you, I liked what you said. You said this is the shit that's been here. It's just been festering.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and now we're all seeing it come to a boil. But I feel like it's for black people, it's more dangerous to get caught up in these unnecessary conversations. Everybody wants to be seen and be trendy and be on the internet, but nobody's really thinking about what this actually means for us. Not for them, not for the country, but for us as black people.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we have to strike now, man. I'm looking at it. I'm like, yo, I think this is one of the best times. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's one of the best times to be black, if you play your cards right. But I think, you know, a lot of us are not, you know, trying to progress. Yes.
We
haven't been
talking about getting money. That's what, the only person, I mean, I hear Jay Lee talking about it on his album. He talked about it, and, you know, a few other people have talked about it recently, but I feel like that should be the pervasive conversation. And for some reason, black people are scared to have that conversation. We're so anti-capitalism that we don't even really know what the shit means.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. Church.
I'm not saying that capitalism is 100% good. But I'm saying that let's take a look at what it actually is versus what we've been conditioned to believe it is. Because I hang out in all those liberal spaces. Like I said, I've been an activist since I was 14 years old. And I hang around other activists, and they all repeat the same shit. They all say the same thing. I got in a cult of activism. It's a cult. And they all repeat the same thing. I'm not saying capitalism is 100% good, but let's look at what it actually is and how can we actually benefit from it.
Right.
We ain't getting rid of it. That's for sure.
I'm trying to, and it's funny because that's funny, man. Like that's very funny because I was actually arguing with somebody about that the other day, and they just swear, like, you know, I was like, yo, man, look, capitalism is America's built off of it for a reason. Shit, anybody can start their own business. It's not hard, and it's fairly easy. I sat around in BS for a while to actually make my business official. I've been running my paperwork for like the last couple of weeks, and this shit is so fucking easy. And I'm doing it, and I'm doing it from the bottom up. And I didn't go to school for it, but every single job I have has been, you know, business management, working up under the, you know, the boss and all that shit. So I learned everything I need to know without going to school. And people come from other countries, come here to do that shit. Yet we reject doing it.
As
a whole, I don't get it.
I get it. And then I'm gonna hook you up. If you haven't looked this up already, look at post-traumatic slave syndrome. Now, that's one that definitely explains our social conditioning and how, as black people, we've gotten to where we are. And it doesn't just explain us. It also explains white people as well. What has happened? What did slavery cause? What's this trauma that has been caused to us all, right? But the other thing is, something my brother and I talked about, but we call it PTSS, post-traumatic sharecropping syndrome. Now, both post-traumatic slave syndrome and both post-traumatic sharecropping syndrome are very much the same thing. They're very similar, except sharecropping, you're free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're free on paper. on paper you're free, but you're not really
right.
free. You're still dealing with all the same shit you were dealing with when you was enslaved. Now,
mm-hmm.
the reason why we have such a visceral response, I call it visceral response to conversations around economics, economy, capitalism, profiting, and things like that, business in general, is because we were property. We were bought and sold. We were commodities, right? I think, and this
right.
is my own personal theory, I believe that trauma is still in us. There's a certain
right.
pain that comes with that. It just seems so inhumane to us because we were once the product. We were once the good.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm not angry at black people. I just want to be someone who's there to educate us and try to get us around those fears. That's what I call post-traumatic sharecropping syndrome. You know, my brother was
actually
that time.
Yeah, when you say that, I you know, that's a great name for it because I experienced that. I experienced that like when I worked at Rent-A-Center. When I got fired from Rent-A-Center, I mean, I just said, fuck this shit. I'm about to start working my ass off, get fired,
mm-hmm.
get my unemployment, take my ass to school. That's what I said. And I said, hell, this shit, I gotta go. I'm like, fuck this shit. I've been making somebody else rich for the last 3 years. Fuck this. I can make my fucking self rich on the stage.
Right.
I just said, hey, and I thought about it. I said, man, shit. I said, okay. I worked at McDonald's. That's my first real job. I was a crew chief,
mm-hmm.
which basically like a manager, but not a manager. So I learned how to do everything in the store. Left there, I went and worked at a hotel. Learned how to problem solve, how to critical think, how to, you know, attention to detail, all that shit. Left there, went to the military. Learn how to be a leader.
Let me ask you a question real quick. You were working in the hotel. You learned how to shut the hotel. When you were working at the hotel, you learned how to shut the hotel. How often did you sit back and say, you know what? I'm going to go buy a hotel.
I was a teenager then. I didn't think about that. I was 17, 18 in the hotel.
That's 17, 18, 4, 5, 6, don't matter. My question was, it's every age,
I never
right?
thought about that. No, yeah. I thought about...
But there's a reason why you didn't think about that. That's my point. There's a reason. You didn't say, I'm learning all this shit about the hotel. I should go own a hotel. Well, I know what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to go build my own business. I want to run a hotel. I want a bread and breakfast or some shit. I know all this shit. You know, you didn't even get excited about that. It didn't even cross your mind.
No.
That's post-traumatic sharecropping syndrome. Your idea was, I should go get another job.
No, actually, what I really wanted to do, because my going to my 11th grade year of school, my 12th grade year of school, I had no idea. Like I was about to graduate high school. I was 18 years old, going to my 12th grade year, and I'm trying to figure out what I want to do in my life. So my first actual plan in life was to use the hotel as a way, because it's a 5-star hotel, and transfer to different cities and just do my poetry. Because I was writing heavily then. I was going through a lot of shit. I was writing a lot of poetry. And I just wanted to actually just travel the United States and live in different major cities for like 2 years and just do my poetry there. I wanted to do that. That's all I wanted to do.
But an artist,
but
this is the thing. A poet is an artist, right? An artist
uh-huh.
is anything they should be. Even artist first and second that they should be is a business person. Being an artist
right.
is a business. My point is your mind should have been business, business, business. If you want to be a poet, you have to make that a business. Saul Williams, because he sat around just writing poetry and going on tours, he made it a business. That motherfucker's everywhere.
Yeah, but I didn't have anybody to teach me that. I didn't know that. Like, you know, I really didn't have anybody to teach me that.
I'm not judging you. I'm pointing out how all of us have this problem. Because none of us were taught this. Our parents weren't taught that. Our parents taught to go get a job. That's better than being
exactly.
a slave. Only to be a slave, you know?
No, it's funny though. It's crazy because my dad always said that. My dad always said I should want people to work for me though. He always told me that when I was a kid, when I was younger. Then one thing he always did drill in my head. My dad said, everything I do so you can be better than me. I work for somebody. I want somebody to work for you. My dad always told me that. He did always tell me that as a kid.
And now you're thinking that way.
Yeah.
So it just had to block him.
That's crazy. Yeah. See, my dad, he knew something, but, you know, he grew up in, you know, the 60s. He grew up in the South in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my dad, my way, my dad did some shit, but you know, one thing he did do, and my grandmother, and for some reason my family is ignorant, they actually went downtown doing a sit-in, and they sat at the front counter. She took my dad, she took my dad and my uncle, and a Klansman walked up behind my dad and my uncle. And my uncle, he was the youngest one, he turned around and seen the Klansman, he cried. He screamed. My dad looked at the Klansman and said, I don't know why my dad told the Klansman, I don't know why you're sitting right there for. My mama paid for my food and turned back around and kept eating. And so, yeah, and my grandmother told me that story when I was younger. I never quite understood the story, you know, when I was younger. Like, but she said me that shit all the damn time, you know, because I had, like, you know, resentment for my pops because, you know, single, you know, household shit, typical shit. But she always told me shit, you know, I turned out to be just like that dude. I love the hell out of him, you know. But, yeah, that's amazing, man. He did. Like, some of the stuff you're just saying, I think about. It brings a lot of stuff back, though. That's why I like talking to you, though. Because it makes me think about shit. It makes me think like a lot of things, though, man. Like, when you post stuff, that's why I'm always on your post. Sometimes I don't come in. I just read and lurk. But, yeah.
A lot of people lurk. Yeah. I'm also where people are afraid of me. So I'm trying to be cooler about not... But I've also found that even when I'm being cool, people get mad anyway. But I am trying to be better because I want my message to come across, and I don't want to be lumped in with the, you know, with everybody else on the internet just talking shit. You know, I want there to actually be a conversation. So I'm trying to be better.
And that's the great thing about it, because whenever you post something, I say something, and I just figured it out. You hit me with some other shit, and I'm like, fuck, man, hold on. Let me take care of this real quick and sit down and think about this shit. Like, I've done that shit a couple of times, like, on your post. Like, I'll come in something, then you come back and say something else. I'm like, well, damn. Let me go sit down for a minute and see.
What was the most recent time? I thought there was something recently we talked about, and I forgot what it was. Damn. It was something not too long ago, maybe a few months ago. But, I actually enjoy conversations because it makes sure – I like to be challenged. The problem is most people don't like to be challenged, right? They like to be, they're very defensive of their beliefs and they double down on it. And I'm not saying I'm above that. I'm sure there's been times when I double down on something and then I only to come back later and say, yeah, actually that person was right. But I try to be open as much as possible. And I make a conscious decision to do that because I know as human beings, our brain is automatically wired to just double down on something. We don't like to have our beliefs taken away from us because we've built our lives around them, right? But after I lost religion, I think I became a lot more open. So
you do.
Once I realized
you
it was okay to question things and look at things differently and not believe things just because the people you love or people that you like believe it, I've been okay with being challenged on my beliefs. Because I've been wrong, you know. Or I've had to think about things in a new way before, you know. And I've come around on a lot of different things that I didn't think before, you know. I used to be like, you know, the super anti-capitalist, and now I'm looking at things a lot differently. Maybe I wasn't looking at things accurately at the time. Maybe I was just being... repeating shit people were telling me. I didn't do my own research. You know what really changed my thinking around money is when I looked up what money really is. And there's some really cool YouTube videos and documentaries and there's all kinds of shit that you can look up, that you can look information up. And then also, you know, do your further research, of course. You got to verify shit. You can believe shit on the internet. But, you know, but there are some really good documentaries and, like, little courses that teach you, like, what is currency? Why do we have currency? Where does money come from? All this shit that I never really learned in school, because I took economics for, like, a semester in high school once. Like, that's it. That was all my economics, and I didn't learn a goddamn thing, because the classroom was also the cooking room. So, I didn't learn shit. And none of us learn economics. We should be learning economics and sociology in fucking kindergarten, and I sincerely believe that. I think there's a way you can teach children the basic concepts of those things.
Yeah, they do make a lot of sense.
But that's why we don't know shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen. So my child isn't going to public school, so I've already made that decision. My child will probably be home, or it may be some other alternative if I can come up with one. But I don't trust public schools to teach my kid a goddamn thing. I feel like everything I learned in public school was bullshit. I had to unlearn all that shit. I did love college. But high school and middle school, I hated that shit. I didn't learn anything. I learned a bunch of shit
what
that wasn't even
to?
True. USC.
You were at USC?
Yeah.
Really?
Church,
oh, that's dope. Mm-hmm. Damn. I went to, like, Art Institute of Atlanta. Yeah. $98,000 B.
Thankfully, I had a scholarship, so I was good. But and
I ain't paying for
this
shit.
yeah,
the military
expensive.
Pay for mine. Military pay for my shit. Hell yeah. That's the only reason,
yeah.
That's the only reason I really went to the military. That and travel the world for free. I said shit.
And that's tipping the system. That's dope. Because, I mean, this is the thing. I'm not really pro-American military, but I do think if you can figure out a way to get to where you got to go, then you do what you got to do. You know?
Yes.
So I definitely feel you. You figure out how to pay for school, schools pay for it. Shit.
Exactly, because I was just like, it was funny, man, because I didn't want to go to school. I mean, I had scholarship offers, but I didn't want to go to school at the time. Like, I didn't want to go to college. Like, I didn't, and I had scholarship offers. But I was like, you know what? I said, hell with this shit. I was going to do the job thing, like I said, with the hotel, but then I thought about it. I said, do I really want to get trapped doing this shit for the rest of my life? I'm like, hell no. That I don't want. I didn't want to get stuck doing that shit. Because I had seen people
mm-hmm.
that started doing that shit, and they grew old doing that shit. And that's all they knew. I was like, man, fuck that. That's no.
Man,
so,
that is some real shit.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm like, fuck this. I'm like,
shit.
No, man.
You ever work at a job? Okay, I remember, like, that's the scariest shit. When you start a job when you're in your 20s, your early 20s and shit, and you get there, and there are people who are way older than you working
mm-hmm.
there, still working there. And they're working the same job you got.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, are you fucking serious? I was a caseworker. And this is the craziest part. You had to have a degree to have that job when I got it. So when those older women were there, they didn't have to have a degree. You just got to go.
Damn.
And apply for the job. Yeah.
So they got laid off. They were screwed, yo.
For real. But, I mean, they... You know, but now in that field, you have to have a degree. But either way, I'm like, this job ain't paying that much. I think I was making like $30,000 a year at that job, and it was a hard job. I had 40 cases
no.
on my caseload.
yeah, that's crazy, man. That's why they be pissed the hell off. I see why. When you go to the damn office, you got to talk to them damn folks. They be mad to the motherfucker. I see why. 40 fucking cases. $30,000 a year.
Sure.
Shit, they're less than the police, goddamn it.
I'm saying, I mean, if they've been there 10 years and I say they got a raise, they probably still made barely $40,000. And that's not a lot of money.
No,
so,
it's not a lot of money.
In Los Angeles.
This is how I'm thinking about, because you from LA. I'm like, yo, that's what I'm thinking about. Like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah,
damn.
You can't survive in LA and no $40,000 a year. I mean, you could probably do okay. You could probably have enough to get a small apartment and pay a bill or two. But you're not going to be like, these people have families. They have kids, you know? Some of them grown kids that need support. You know, grown kids are more expensive than little kids.
They sure are. They are. Damn.
Do they eat more? And they got more needs? They trying to. And then how are you going to help your kid get on their feet? When you're only making $40,000, you can't say, okay, son, you know, you want to start a business, here's $20,000. Or I have good credit. I can co-sign on getting you a business loan. Yep, most of our parents can't do that.
No.
You know, if
they
I
can't.
Wanted a business loan, my family had no collateral. Nobody got no credit.
Yeah, my credit shot already, too. I told my kid, hopefully my damn business made me a millionaire. Or somewhere close to it.
Yeah, I mean, all this connects right back to economic conditions, and this is why I think we have to change mm-hmm. the way we think. Stop looking at all this Trump shit and Hillary shit. We getting caught up in conversations that ain't got shit to do with us. It really doesn't.
Look, it's
they're
all,
using
it. Yes, fuck it. If it's not on a local level, shut the fuck up. That's it. I don't get
exactly.
it. I'm like, yo, I mean. But these is, you know what, I noticed that, well, on my Facebook anyway, on my wall, My timeline, yeah, that's the word. Timeline, I noticed that when it comes to that right there, most of the people that I see going off acting crazy about this shit are the ones that didn't pay attention to goddamn social studies or economics or any class related to that shit in school. These are the ones that say that shit don't matter. These are the ones that say their classes don't matter. These are the ones, I mean, some of them I went to high school with, these are the ones that are now screaming they're woke at 36, 37, 38 years old. These are the ones. And they didn't pay attention. Some of these same ones, nigga, you pay attention in school, bro. You beg me for the answers on tests all the time. And then you out here talking shit. That's why you pick.
Well, I was shitty in school. I'm not gonna judge people who weren't shitty in school. I fucked up in school badly. The thing is, I got through the system because the system was so broken. I figured out how to get through the system. I'm not even joking with you. I failed math almost every semester in high school. I failed math. I failed classes I shouldn't have failed because I knew how to do the shit. I just didn't want to do the work. I just failed. I was, you know, teenager, got a lot going on, and
yeah.
I had teachers I didn't like or whatever the situation. We didn't have books half the time.
Oh.
It was just too much extra effort just to learn some shit that kids at other schools had had all the resources they needed to learn. And it was just kind of frustrating. And I just struggled. I mean, I just wasn't that bright at the way that they were teaching, you know? So I just wasn't a student. But I did figure out if you go to summer school, that F you got turns into a C, because all you
yeah.
have to do in summer school is show up and not be a gang member, they'll give you an A, just because they like you. Because the summer school teacher don't want to be their teacher in summer school, and all they cared about was whether you gave them a hard time. Because most of the kids in summer school are the kids that give teachers a hard time. So I was one of the ones that knew not to give them a hard time. I think I gave a fuck, showed up, and pretending like I needed extra help, you know, even though I didn't have, I was just doing it to be doing it. I didn't really get, I wasn't learning the shit. I was still not passing the test, but the teacher liked me, so I got an A. And I averaged out all my F's with the C's. And then I was able to go, on top of that, I went to community college and transferred.
You know what? That's crazy. That shit, look, I'm not going to lie. In high school, we had some of the best fucking teachers you could ask for. That shit would not have flown in high school. They'd have been on your ass. Like my high school teachers, man, like, they were so cool, man. Who's in the hood, though? Carver High School sat right in Carver Homes, which is like projects here in Atlanta. Some of the biggest and some of the most infamous at the time. But the teachers we had there, man, like, man, it was like, it was fam. It was fam. Like, Carver High was a village. Like, it was a village.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that shit was crazy. Like, that shit would have flown there. If kids didn't have nobody to care for them at home, they came to school. And they came to school to be there to learn because, man, that shit, like, that's why when people talk about their schools, one thing I can't say, I grew up in the hood. I went to school in the hood. But one thing I can't say about my high school, man, those teachers care like a motherfucker for us. They did. And anybody out there went to high school that's listening,
sure
y'all call in.
That's it. I'm sure that wasn't an accident. I'm sure that was planned. Like, there was some sort of strategy to have that type of teaching in that type of space.
Uh-huh.
So that shit doesn't just happen. That shit don't just happen. It just doesn't.
Yeah, most
came
of them
together and said, "We gonna save our kids."
Yeah.
And they went out there.
Yeah, my whole
was just, like.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested in finding out what that strategy was and what they did. I'm sure there's a story behind that. I guarantee it.
Man, it was just like I don't know, man. It was like minded. It was just like minded. I don't know, but it was crazy though. But it was like that. But Carver High had been like that. My dad went to that school. Most of my uncles, aunties. Went to Carver High, came out of Carver High School. A lot of my cousins went there. Like, it's lineage there at Carver High School. I just walked down to Lee Hall, and they had all the classes. Their pictures up on the wall. I just stared at my family members' pictures. But that's my motivation getting out of this school because I'm like, damn, a lot of the Cheneys and a lot of Napiers came from this school. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
So I'm like, damn, this is awesome. And, you know, my
Are
family
you
pretty much
Carver
came from the hood.
Or Carver?
Like George Washington Carver?
So Anna was named after a black man.
Yeah. Oh, most of the high schools, in Atlanta were named after black leaders, Booker T. Washington, and the Booker T. Washington statue sits in front of the school, the Veil of Ignorance. The statue sits in front of the
school. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
see,
it was George Washington Carver.
I need to go to Atlanta.
Atlanta's
I'm
the
sorry.
Mecca.
Yeah.
Atlanta is the Mecca. It's the Mecca. And, you know, it hurts me. It hurts me, though, when I see what it's turning into. Because, like, people love to question my blackness, but they don't understand. I'm the way I am for a reason. Because in the middle of the fucking South sits the strongest and most powerful black city America's ever fucking seen. The Harlem Renaissance was destroyed. Rosewood was destroyed. Shit. Fucking Black Wall Street destroyed. You can't. They cannot destroy Atlanta. Atlanta is falling down.
South
the black
Central
community
Avenue
in Atlanta is falling
down. You didn't even know about South Central Avenue. They destroyed that too. That's where South Central gets its name.
Mm-hmm.
That's where.
That's crazy.
I think this is L.A. Where do you think Lena Horne and Billie Holiday and Louis Armstrong was hanging out? They couldn't hang out in Hollywood. They were Negroes. You couldn't sleep in a hotel up there. So they went to the Dunbar Hotel in South Central. If you watch this movie, Devil in the Blue Dress, Devil in the Blue Dress is about black L.A.
Okay.
Here's a book that's going to change your life.
What's that?
The Warmth of Other Suns. Read that book. Please read it. It is also available in an audiobook if you like audiobooks. Please read that book, though. The Warmth of Other Suns. It'll change your life. It changed mine.
Okay.
Because you represent the black people that stayed in the South, and I represent the black people who left. And there's a whole story behind the black migration that I've never even known about.
I'm gonna check
and
it
there
out.
Was a huge divide between the black people who migrated out and the black people who stayed in the South and tried to create that method that you're talking about. So I definitely think you'll love that book. You should definitely read it. It changed my life.
Well, I'm checking out.
I think every African-American should read that book.
I think they all should read Invisible Man, too.
I read that in high school. I believe I read that in high school.
It's a brilliant piece of work.
Oh, you want to know? Speaking of books, and Richard Wright, I have a book right here, right in front of me, called 12 Million Black Voices. My friend's neighbor let me borrow it. It's by Richard Wright. It's about the blacks that were poor and stayed in the South, but that were also living in poverty. He has like photos and it's really good. And he talks about that migration as well. So read that book, 12 Million Black Voices. It's amazing. Listen, there's so many great information out there. People just go out there and find out what to read. Talk to other people and get recommendations. There's some great shit out there.
Yeah, someone I want to for some reason. I'm gonna check that out though. In fact, I need to do a show on that. I need to do a podcast on that. That'd be an awesome podcast. On books,
Influential
books.
That.
Yeah, that should be a dope ass podcast. Why is my throat getting raspy all of a sudden? That sucks.
You just gave me an idea. Maybe we could do it together. Produce a podcast on books.
I'm down. I need to buy another microphone though. I hate my microphone. It's so cloudy.
Well, we'll figure all that out. I mean, this is what I do. I produce podcasts, so
I know. I'll be checking you out when I have the time. I'll be at my job. I'll tell everybody to get away from me. And move. Going back somewhere.
It's all good.
Wow, we just totally, like, you know, it's crazy, man. We totally deviated from all the subject topics I had wrote down. I just said the hell with
you. We did?
Huh?
Well, where's your friends? Where are your friends that were supposed to call in?
Oh, I don't know where they at, man. They probably went to sleep. Who knows, man? But then they'll be talking about hitting me in the inbox later on about it. Most of them, they're afraid to call in for some odd reason. I don't know why. I'm like, yo, I'm not as aggressive on air as I am on Facebook. I really want to pick people's minds. You know, on Facebook, you got to try to summarize every damn thing because I don't like typing. I don't like swiping all damn day long. That shit is so annoying. I mean, and since I got like a slur to my voice, I can't use the voice shit. You know, you talk and it depicts the words on the screen for you. I can't do that. Words even misspelled, I sound like sloth or some shit. Like, she just come across the screen looking horrible whenever I try it. So, I just hate swiping.
So
what you know about the guy, though?
About what?
Now? Oh, what you about to say?
Nothing bad.
Well, I'm about to say, what you know about the guy that drove the damn Challenger into the people?
Oh, what about him? What's your
James
question?
James Alex Fields. Did you hear what did you see the pictures they had of him when he was standing with the white supremacist group? I forgot the name of this group, but the Vanguard. They carry shields.
No, I didn't see.
Yeah, look, they carry shields. They carry shields. Like they carry shields.
This is the thing. I don't see how they get mad at people not thinking that's good, because they say people think they slow, and they do shit that's just ridiculous. But go ahead.
So they got. So I mean, I had no idea what this group was until a couple of days ago, because you know I have other things to worry about, man. Fuck these racist motherfuckers. I know they here, they exist. I'm not gonna waste my time on them. So, but I heard like Vanguard. What the fuck? I thought that was a band. I thought that was D'Angelo's band named Vanguard, the Vanguard. So, I start pulling this dude over. I'm looking at pictures, whatever, and I see this picture him standing with the Vanguard, and I'm like, the Vanguard, they're known for carrying. I'm like, yeah, I said, hold on, these niggas, racist ass Dungeon and Dragon players or some shit. What the fuck? They actually out here with fucking shield. And so I'm looking at this shit, right? So they gave a statement. He's standing with them, and he's dressed just like them, white shirts, white polo shirts, shields and something else. I can't forget the other shit. It's ridiculous. But the first thing they say after this dude decided to play Grand Theft Auto and run through people, he's not part of the Vanguard. We just gave him a shirt. We asked anybody that wanted to wear a shirt to show unity, they get a shirt. I'm like, nigga, get out of here. So y'all just randomly went up to these dumbass niggas and gave them shirts and said, yeah, put the shirt on him before we can take these pictures. No, I don't believe that shit. But they tried to deny that he was part of it.
You know, because this is the thing. People are getting, you know, super nervous because, you know, one dude leaves. He lost his job. Then his dad wrote an open letter to the fucking state publication denouncing his son, talking about his him and his siblings, that the dad and the guy's siblings was basically on this phone. Like, goddamn. This nigga just lost, bro. You know, people are getting nervous now. But this is the thing. You know, I find it really interesting, like I was saying at the beginning of the show, that they're mad at all the wrong people. Like, I just find that interesting because the people that they're mad at are other white people. We didn't do shit to them, right? But yet, they hate us. They hate us. But we ain't did shit to them. And the reason why they don't get no respect is they do goofy shit like call themselves the Vanguard. Walk around with tiki torches. A tiki torch.
Yes.
Nigga, what?
A tiki torch. Look, I swear, I seen the picture. I thought the picture, you know, they was just photoshopping different faces on these bodies. I had no idea they actually walked around with fucking tiki torches. I didn't know they did that shit for real, too, the other day. I said, that was real? that's what I thought it was. That's all I thought it was, the internet meme. So I was like, when I finally seen the real picture, I was like, holy shit. I seen it on TV, and I was just sitting there looking at the TV in the shop, and I was like, holy shit, it was real? And I'm like, these white niggas were walking around with tiki torches? All right, they deserve to get their ass kicked.
Y'all, you know, people need to learn more history. You know, people would connect some, I mean, black people, not everybody. I mean, everybody should learn history, but black people in particular. If we studied accurate history and knew real shit, you would look at what's happening today and be like, God damn, this is typical, everyday, weird, southern white people shit. Like, this is what they do. This is just what they do. And they're not to be trusted. I'm sorry. I hate to say it. You know, I just hate to say it. You can't trust these people out here with tiki torches. You're talking about they disenfranchised. But this is the thing. I've seen pictures of black people walking around with Confederate and shit. What the fuck is Negro walking around with Confederate flags for?
Oh, man.
You're a slave. I barely like it when I see niggas being overly happy with their regular-ass American flag. But I get it. You know, I'm not too mad at that. But the fact is, shit, I really don't get it. I just don't. There's no logical explanation you're going to give me why you, as a Negro, have a Confederate. I just don't. But we also don't have a flag. You know, African-Americans don't have a flag. We're not a people. That's just what it is.
You know what? We had a flag, but I think what happened was, like, I mean, honestly, like, you know, the red, black, and green, those are dope colors. But I think it became associated with the wrong type of people, and those people got too much spotlight. So now, you know, a lot of us, when we see that shit now, we kind of just, you know, kind of just back off of it. Like, I remember when you made that post about people being, you know, like, pro-black people now, it's like degression. Like, they're degressing. Like, they're just negative. They don't want to, you know, celebrate the accomplishments. You know, you made a post something about that, something similar to that a couple of weeks ago.
Probably. I don't know exactly what you're talking about. So what did I say? What was the point?
You were saying, I'm high. You were saying something like about...
Oh, I'm sitting here smoking right now, so I get it.
Okay, so, yeah. Yeah, you were saying something about...
We're going to figure this out together, okay? We're going to figure this out together. We're a team.
All right, you were saying, hold on, wait a minute. Okay, yeah. You were saying that most of these pro-black people now are just, I guess, it's concentrated on the negative. All they talk about is the negative shit, the negative aspects, or, you know, yeah, pretty much it. They never talk about anything positive that we have done as a people. It's all about the negativity or the shit we've been through. They're just like negative all the time.
I don't remember what I said exactly, but I thought some shit I would say, so I'm going to go with it.
Yeah.
No, but we do.
Yeah.
Oh, I was saying that we always, like, it's always we sad and downtrodden and life is fucked up, and we don't even know the shit that we created through the adversity. We don't even, you know how old I was when I even heard of Black Wall Street? I was gone.
Man,
I never heard of Black Wall Street until I was gone. I still don't even have a clear picture on how thriving Harlem was. You know what I mean? I did learn about South Central Avenue, but that was because I was a part of an activist organization, and that's what they used to teach us. So I did know that. But, I mean, just so much, you know, even Black Wall Street, you hear about how it was bombed, but nobody talks about the beginning, how it was built, what was created there, what life was like. You never have that conversation. So we don't even know who we are. Let me tell you something. White folks was feeding their babies to alligators. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Feeding black children. They were putting black children in zoos. And this wasn't in during slavery. This was in the 20th century.
The Danes.
And people,
Belgium.
We still created. We still built.
Mm-hmm.
We still invented. You know what I mean? How many people have been out here trying to show us the way? There's a reason why those communities were destroyed. That wasn't an accident.
Yep.
South Central Avenue didn't get bombed like Black Wall Street, but it got raided every 5 minutes because, of course, with the Negro establishment, it had to get raided to the point where it was inoperable. You know what I mean? They burned down Rosewood. There was too much good
shit
happening. That shit ain't no accident.
And Gainesville. People understand they burned down Gainesville, too, in Florida. But Gainesville rebuilt,
Jacksonville, Florida. Isn't that a place in Florida, Jacksonville? There's
yes,
a city.
Florida, yeah.
Listen, Jacksonville, Florida, that was home to Eartha M.M. White. Look her up. She was a black woman. You know, this is the thing. Me and her share the same birthday. I feel like she's my, like, what's the word? I don't know what the word is, but I'm sure that's some weird-ass word for it. But she's somebody I connect with, right? She's dead, of course. But she was a black woman who created businesses and became the single largest employer of black people in the whole city.
Wow.
She had a taxi company. She had a laundry company. She had, and on top of not only building all these businesses and hiring people, and she had an employment business, so she would help connect businesses with black people who wanted to get employed and not just as cleaning people. You know, she had started a lot of hospitals and not all those nonprofit organizations that she funded herself. So she had to rely on some company that's going to screw her people over. She was the company. This is a woman you've never heard about her in your history class. She don't never come on Black History Month.
That's crazy.
We never heard
of
her.
It's a lot
Biddy
out
Mason.
There. I mean,
Google Biddy Mason, B-I-D-D-Y, Mason. Google
I am. I'm
going to
look them up.
I'm saying women in particular because you never hear about this about women, Black women. You never hear it. Look up Biddy Mason. She became a millionaire. She was a slave. And she ended up creating, she actually founded the first African Methodist church or some shit.
Uh-huh.
But the church was also a hospital. So that's where Black people who were basically might have been escaping slavery or were sick, and there was, she created a place for Black people to get healed, to get better. You know what I mean? On top of her owning property and getting involved. And this is, she was a slave. I think she was a slave. She fought for her freedom herself. Beat up her slave master because he tried to attack her.
He ran away.
I'm just saying,
she
didn't run away.
Yo.
She had fought him in court. She beat him in court and won her freedom. Because you never heard of it. This is what I'm saying. Look up Sarah Rector.
Yeah, yeah.
She was the youngest Black millionaire at one point in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She was like 12.
Wow. Damn, you're giving me a lot of
We don't know our history.
Good shit. There's a lot of good
shit.
Yo,
our
history. I'm going to make some posts about them. I'm going to post stuff up. Make my daughter read some books on them, too. Yeah.
Just saying. Everybody's talking about all these. We don't even. People talking about birth, but we need a movie about Nat Turner. Okay, great. But we don't need movies we don't have. But
man,
I
we got
involved,
yo, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Hell yeah, you're right. So
there are way
that.
Too many stories. We saw the same five over and over and over. I wanted to see Hidden Figures, but a white motherfucker did it and fucked it up and put all kinds of lies in that movie to make white people look good.
Not even joking.
Hidden Figures. They added a bunch of shit to make white guys.
Oh, well, you know they did. You know they did.
I
seen that shit. I was like, you know they did. It's a good movie, but I was like, man. Come on, you know they were disrespecting the hell out of those damn sisters. You know they were.
But they're fucking up our stories. I want stories about Black people who got money through adversity. Where's the stories about A.G. Gatson? Where's the stories about John Johnson? Stories. I haven't heard them yet. I'm telling you.
Mm.
We got a legacy
getting
money, and we don't even know it.
I've been telling people this. I've been telling them this shit. I'm like, yo, man, I said, for some odd reason, you guys don't want to. I don't know. You just said it all. It's confusing. I argue with people about this. I ask arguments about this. And people just look at me like I'm crazy when I tell them this stuff. The same thing you're saying, like, yo, there's so many people out there, man. Like we have a rich history, man. We've got a very rich history. And they just say, like,
but
if you're not teaching on school, then.
Look, we've been sold on how terrible we are. We've been sold on how downtrodden we are. We've been sold on how terrible white people are. You need to know how terrible white people are. But yet, this is the sad part. Y'all say that shit and can't wait to be best friends with them. You want their approval every 5 minutes. I don't get that either. You know what it's about. You know this. I'm not saying you can't be friends with no white people. That's not who's listening and saying I said that shit. That ain't what I'm saying. You got to look at it like you have a people, and your people are not getting what they deserve. We built this shit. Why are we the poorest? Literally.
Exactly. I tell people that shit all the time. Like, shit, man, America, I said, man, America, shit. The blood of America came from my veins. I tell people that shit all the time. Like, we built this motherfucker. You serious? Y'all, nigga, you serious? Nigga, please, nigga, this is my shit, nigga. Like, that's how I look at this shit now. It took me a minute, you know, to really just realize that shit, look at this shit. That's how I look at this shit now. Like, I'm like, yo, we fucking built this motherfucker.
Exactly.
Like, I'm going to get my fucking, I want my slice of pie, I'm going to take that bitch. It's not given to you. Stop complaining, go get that bitch. You want your pie, go take that shit. I want that shit hot and fresh, goddammit. I'm going to take it. It's mine.
But we got to believe
I don't
that.
Get it.
We don't believe this is our land. I look at it like, this is our land. Fuck that shit.
We built this motherfucker.
But we don't feel no connection. We don't feel no connection to shit. That's what I'm telling you. You gotta read Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, and if you get the chance, go online and go on YouTube and watch the lectures by Dr. Joy DeGruy. She's a professor who coined that term, post-traumatic slave syndrome. But she has all kinds of amazing, I've seen her speak in person. She has amazing lectures that talk about, it's not just about slavery. She talks about all kinds of shit. She talks about the Statue of Liberty and what it really is and what it really represents. I didn't even know this shit. I didn't even know that statue was literally for black people. That statue is for you. And you don't even know it. Not just that. The man who made it literally made it for slaves, like for the slaves that just became free. That's what it was. That's what it was for. It wasn't for all these everybody else. White people go to the Statue of Liberty and say, "Oh, I feel so connected to America." That wasn't even for them. That was for you. And black kids walk up in there, don't even know they're going on field trips. Don't know that. Don't even know this is that statue for them. There's no connection. You don't even know that.
You get defeat. You look at defeat. The shackles of the shackles are free around the feet. You see them. They open.
But you can only see it from a helicopter.
Yeah.
You can't see it in none of the other pictures at the bottom.
Coming from the sea, you can see it. I seen it coming from the sea. My shit pulled in. I seen it on the big eyes. Like that shit was. It was like I seen it, and it was. It's inspiring, man. You know, it's inspiring just to see it. Like it's a marvel, just to see that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow. Like this is Statue of Liberty. You're like, damn.
I mean, now that I know what it is, I didn't know what it was. I've been to New York many times. Never even thought to go to the Statue of Liberty. Didn't even think about it.
I did it in high school. My dad told me that also. My dad was real. My dad is like his black history is like trivial shit, yo. Like, he hits you with stuff. Like, when I was a kid, he used to hit me with stuff, like, all the time. Like, just out of the blue, like, trivial shit, so... Because I know a lot of this stuff, but I never.
I don't think it's trivial. I think that stuff's important to take note of. It sounds like your dad really soaked in a lot that he wanted you to get, and it sounds like it's blossom. You know, he put those seeds in you and it's blossoming. You know, so it sounds like your dad was really on top of that. My dad was too, for the most part. You know, I just
When I say trivial, I mean like trivial. Like he comes out the blue with you. Be sitting there just quiet. He just busts out the blue with some shit and just tell you some stuff. But this is what I mean by trivia. I'd be like, we'd be sitting there, or sometimes we'd be in the middle of a conversation, and if it's something pertaining to that, he just busts out with some actual facts about that shit. You know what I'm saying? You'd be like, what? What the hell? Like, for real? He's like, yeah, look it up. Go read a encyclopedia. Is that a encyclopedia? He'd tell you that quick. You know, this is back in the day, 80s and the 90s. So,
yeah.
It's awesome.
That's dope.
So, hey. Wow, it's the end of the show. We got a couple of seconds left. Go on, tell everybody how to reach you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat, VIDASTARR, Vida Star. That is my radio name for those of you guys who didn't know that. Yes, I do radio. You can find me on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. Also streaming live and around the world at KPFK.org. I also have amazing podcasts at realityisreal.com. Check out realityisreal.com and host Urban Life and Reality is Real Radio. You can find me in all those places, VIDASTARR, Vida Star.
Yeah! There you go. All right. Well, guys, man, at the end of the show, Vida, love you. Thanks.
Love you, too. Thank you so much.
Man, yo, it's awesome as always, man. Like, I'm so honored again. I'm learning a lot. Appreciate it, man. Like, hell yeah, you so smooth with this thing. So, man.
Please read those books, please. Please. I want to talk to you about them.
You know what? Yeah. Oh, you know what? Because I'm high. So if you get a chance, just email me the titles and I'm going to look them up. I'm going to get them.
I will.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask you to get them.
I'll tag you.
Okay, do that. And I probably buy some. I probably gonna do something. Probably pass some out to some people in the group or whatever. Or you know anybody? I might get some. We donate them to some people. Get them to call in and read them. We'll do like what is it called? The book shit where people sit around and talk about a book. We might do an hour or 2 hours or something like that.
Like a book club.
Yeah, book club. Yeah,
book review.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be kind
of
cool. Yeah. Yeah, so just email me the titles and shit. Well, yeah, message me the titles. I'm going to get them. And I might see if I can get them for a discount of price, wholesale prices, I might get a bunch of them and pass them out and people get them to read them. Or donate them somewhere. Definitely.
Well, I mean, you can get digital copies. You can pirate digital copies of books online and just send people the PDFs.
Okay. Yeah, damn, that is true. Oh, my God. Like,
pirating is bad. It's everything. Do not pirate anything. That's bad. Shame.
Don't pirate
stuff. Try Google. You might be able to find it on Google. Sometimes the author themselves put the PDFs out there. So.
Yeah, that is true, too. I definitely, hell yeah, pass it out. All right. I'm going to take you guys out with an outro song, a song for Drake. You like Drake?
I like Take Care.
You like who?
I like his album, Take Care.
Oh, Take Care. Take Care is pretty good. It was a pretty good album. I like Drake, though. I can't lie. I mean, Drake, you know what? Drake, I tell people all the time, people get mad when I say this, but it's a joke. I say Drake say shit that dark-skinned niggas think. Because light-skinned niggas not bringing
funny.
It that hard. Light-skinned little,
you know what?
Light-skinned niggas think.
they have no fear in saying it. But Drake is... his singing, I can't do the singing shit. I can't take them seriously. Like, come on, dude, you're not hard. You're corny. Just stop.
Oh, yeah. The hard shit, the hard shit, he can leave the hard shit alone. I mean, yeah, come on, bro. You light-skinned as hell. No, just stop. I'm just joking, guys, that light-skinned. Don't hit me. Don't punch me, but I'm just joking. But Drake, I don't know. He's not, but he got some bangers out there, though. He got some bangers out there, though.
Yeah,
I'm trying to check out some West Coast. I got a couple of West Coast things on here I can take those out with. Let me see. I got to download some more songs on here. I didn't know I could download this many songs on here. I got The Recipe, Kendrick Lamar. One of my favorite Kendrick Lamar songs, actually.
That's a good one to go out on. I think that's good.
Oh, okay. Word. So, all right. We'll take that one out. Take that one out then. Where is it? There we go. All right, guys. Once again, thanks. Had the awesome Ms. Vita Star online with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, thanks for calling, man. It was a blast. Even though I had an awesome speech in the beginning, though. Oh, I had it on mute. I'm so mad about that.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's typical rookie mistake.
So yeah. Yeah, rookie. Yeah. I know exactly what I said. Damn, rookie mistake. Again, I did this shit before. Everybody was calling in. And everybody like, man, I can't say anything. I'm saying hello. You ain't saying that. I can't say that. I had everybody still muted. I was like, oh, shit, everybody's mute for like 15, 20 minutes. I'm like, yeah.
Well, the trick is, this is one thing I learned in radio and doing live radio, is never make the same mistake twice.
Yeah.
So.
I'm good
now. If you make a mistake, just keep it moving like it didn't even happen.
Right. All righty. So, all right, guys, anybody still awake, we're going to head on out here. Good night.
Good night.
Come from all around the world for the I use only for a 3-day run. Bitch, take the motherfucking pennies off. You ain't no none shit. I be living in the sky every time I ride by them hoes. Ribbon in the sky on the radio, cause TV no eye control. Let it breathe, I control California, live it till I